The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Castamay, good afternoon. 7 minutes after midday today. Wednesday lunchtime from the Isle of Man. Here we go, our daily interaction, debate, exchange of ideas on Manx Radio. Call 66 13 68, text 166 177. Also, WhatsApp on that number if you stick 07624 in front of it. And emails at studio@manxradio.com. Well, you may have heard on Manx Radio News, the union that provided legal support for the former medical director throughout her employment tribunal claims she's won her case. The BMA, the British Medical Association, that's the union, released a statement saying Dr. Rosalind Ransom was victimised and dismissed from her post after raising serious concerns, including calls for the island's borders to be closed in the early stages of the response to COVID-19. Well, a full 200-page report into the proceedings, which has been seen by Manx Radio, shows the tribunal found Dr. Ransom was unfairly dismissed as a direct result of her whistleblowing. It's also critical of a number of senior figures within the Department of Health and Social Care. This dismissal was initially reported by Manx Radio in August last year, a claim that government denied at the time. We've contacted the Isle of Man government for a response. But if you have any thoughts on that matter, some people may think it's all blown over. The pandemic is behind us. We are endemic, not pandemic. I just wonder what your thoughts are on that. Oh, Bonzo's first on. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, the Ransom decision. Not only is it gravely concerning about the behaviour of the department towards Dr. Ransom, but also it reveals some issues which are, quite frankly, of grave concern, to put it mildly, and which strike at the heart of the functioning of Isle of Man government. And for this, I am going to quote from the report, which I think when I finish quoting, you will understand that for legal reasons, that is why I am doing it. This is from paragraph 8, beginning paragraph 833 of the report, which is the start of a section titled, in quotation marks, Concocted Documents. Paragraph 833. At the disclosure hearing, submissions will be required and sworn testimony is likely to be needed regarding the allegations of concocted documents. In his closing submissions, Mr. Siegel was forthright in his criticisms of the disclosure situation and the consequential prejudice to Dr. Ransom, including advanced reasoned arguments as to why it appeared that certain documents had been, quotation marks, concocted. Paragraph 834. During the 2 days earlier in January, allowed for cross-examination of evidence, counsel for Dr. Ransom, then being Mr. Filofsky, had pointed out that certain documents contained obvious material inaccuracies. Accordingly, the chairman made an order on 18th January 2022 for metadata and further explanations to be produced as provenance. Now, metadata is the data included, you know, in the innards at the top of a file.
Yeah, it's the electronic watermark, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So going then to paragraph 835, after continuing, Mr. Siegel's closing submissions referred to grounds for concern regarding authenticity of documents at pages Z309, Z471, and Z475. Z309, a typed note of a meeting identified Dr. Ransom as an attendee. Not only had she not attended, but at the date of the meeting, Dr. Ransom had not even been employed by DHSC. Z471 was a note of a meeting from the senior medical leadership team. That committee had not existed at the date of the note. The committee had been created only some days later than the date on the note. Additionally, the template for that note had never been used until the end. of March 2020. The metadata produced as Z474 showed that this document had only been created on 20th January 2022, just 4 days before the hearing. Z475 purported to be minutes of a meeting taken by Ms. Nicola Gross, executive assistant to Ms. Megson. It purported to be a record of a Microsoft Teams, meeting held on 16th March 2020. Firstly, at the date of that meeting, Teams was not even being used by the DHSC, and secondly, Ms. Gross had not taken the minutes as recorded. Thirdly, there were material differences between the apparent minutes at Z475 compared to draft minutes of the meeting appearing at page 1465, paragraph 836. It is unusual in this tribunal for any party to have to go to the lengths of seeking affidavits as to the veracity, scope, and extent of the disclosure, but in this case, it was thoroughly justifiable. Even that pre-hearing process did not achieve timeous or satisfactory disclosure. 837. But for a document subject access request made by Dr. Ranson, many material documents that should have been disclosed as part of standard disclosure would never have been in evidence, leading to a risk of a serious miscarriage of justice. That risk continued because of material late or non-disclosure. So, documents were adjusted, withheld. Now, who was responsible? Was it a bad apple? Who else in the department knew about it? Who else in Attorney General's chambers may have known about it? Because I would have thought that Attorney General's chambers would have been privy to such things. If you cannot trust documents of record that the government produce, then how can government function?
What should happen now, Bonzo, do you think?
Well, I think that will be for legal opinion and courts to decide. I think that the issues which this reveals of fundamental issues of good governance, those are things I think that may be now being discussed at the highest level, i.e. not on this island.
Is there any profit in the fact that we could say this was at the time of COVID, we never knew really what was going on, and decisions had to be made very quickly, sometimes after heated discussion?
Then why does that necessitate the adjustment of evidence that modifies the veracity of it?
I'm just putting the counter argument. I'm just saying the fact that in the middle of COVID, decisions had to be taken very quickly. Sometimes they were the right decisions, sometimes they weren't right. But decisions had to be taken.
Well, that doesn't alter the fact that you shouldn't alter the documents recording that.
Inevitably, then, if there is to be some sort of inquiry into this, it's going to cost the public purse an awful lot of money. I just wonder whether you think there's a quick way out of this whereby we get to some sort of resolution of this.
Well, I think it involves a lot of people having to hold up their hands, and certain people may not be very willing so to do. But I think, given that this document now, legally, incidences of breaches of what would be termed good governance, that these are of fundamental importance to the island's functioning and reputation.
How do you think it reflects on the government?
Poorly.
Well, we'll see what happens, Bonzo. We appreciate your opinion. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks for quoting that report. This is the story, and the name was bandied around many times during COVID. This is Dr. Rosalyn Ranson. The BMA, the unions, released a statement saying that Dr. Ranson was victimized and dismissed from her post after raising serious concerns, including calling for the Isle of Man's borders to be closed in the early stages of the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. We've asked the government for a response, and as soon as we get one, we'll let you know.
I know they're bright, they're fun, but surely there are other things we can find for small children to enjoy that aren't so destructive to the environment, to farm livestock, and worse still, the ones that end up in the sea.
Those pesky helium balloons, everybody loves them at parties, but they're not so nice when they've got no helium in them and they're in awkward places. Why is it so complicated to put barriers in the airport or a tap or cash machine at the airport? Will the app work, says Bill. We'll talk about the app later. There's no bread at Bray Hill Station or Governor's Hill Spa for the last couple of evenings. Did you see there was a photo of the bread shelves at Tesco, I think it was, yesterday? Absolutely empty. No more Ramsay Bakery. They should be able to install at the airport in a couple of days, tops. A notice in that just says, regarding Dr. Ranson, we the public will never know the reality of the day-to-day interactions between Dr. Ranson and everyone else. It's worth remembering that this judgment is about her dismissal or failure to move to Manx Care was unfair. A note in says, Jane, I think it was unfair. But it doesn't mean that her recommendations were the only right way to do things at the time. It's quite possible she thought they were the only way, and whether she couldn't accept she was part of a team that had to balance the risk, that will never be known. I'm very glad that her recommendations weren't followed at the beginning. So many people would not have got back in time, and the implications of that would have been inexcusable. As it was, many people got stranded and vehemently fought the government to keep the borders open longer. So, says Jane, I feel she was badly treated in the law, but maybe it's a lot more nuanced than that. And I'd urge you to think deeply about it, because that is the result of that case. And as I say, that's been funded by her union, the British Medical Association. And what are the ins and outs of what was going on at that febrile time when COVID started a little over 2 years ago, when nobody really knew which way was up? Nobody really knew which were the correct decisions to make. But I urge you to take a look at the facts. You can go to manxradio.com. You can read the story, and we'll find out more from government when they want to talk about it. Some more notes in about the app at the airport, some of them quite short, some of them very much to the point, and some not really wanting the app at the airport, which will be with us shortly. A note in that says, how much is it going to cost the taxpayer in compensation, one wonders. Well, as yet, we don't know. I agree with Bonzo, says Texter 775. It's a simple case of fraudulent activity. Well, that's 775's words. This sort of cut-and-paste action used by government is in the open now. Plenty of bread during the days in these shops, says Dave. Not as much as they used to be, though. Here's John now. Hi, John.
Good morning. My niece rang me, lives in Bolton, and she asked me if I'd seen a thing on YouTube with Charles Gard. It's called Welcome to the Isle of Man.
Oh, the famous video.
It isn't Welcome to the Isle of Man. How can that man put that out on YouTube? I mean, it should go to the government for the government to see it, but it's not a good advertisement for the Isle of Man.
I think that was the point. Charles Gard was trying to draw attention to the fact that this has been let happen, John.
Yeah, well, I mean, it should have gone to government first before it went on YouTube. How many millions of people have seen that?
Well, lots of people have. I mean,
we won't know.
I think he has made representations to people in the past, but, you know, the people in public places, the people who hold public office are responsible for things like this. And so those,
exactly.
You know, those... the fact that the promenade is where it is, the fact that we've got barriers instead of proper railings and fencing's going to rust, surely, I mean, that's not Charles's fault, he's just showing it.
No, I agree, but like I say, I've had a look this morning, I've eventually found it, and also there's also quite a lot of good information about the Isle of Man regarding steam railways and people that have put things on the YouTube and what have you. So this is to me it's got me boiling actually. Anyway, I just thought I'd give you a quick ring and
it was your daughter. What did she think of it?
My niece.
Oh,
my
niece. What did she think of it?
She said, "Well, it was my niece who brought the attention to me. She said it's not a very good advertisement for the Isle of Man. I mean, she's not been for a long, long while, but because her health isn't all that brilliant, but." You know, she said, I certainly wouldn't come to the Isle of Man if I watched that first and then decided, or I thought thinking of coming to the Isle of Man, and then I saw this thing on YouTube.
What do you think of the appearance of the Isle of Man, John, at the moment?
I think it, personally, I mean, I've been here 40-odd years. I'm from Bolton originally, and I love the place. You know, I mean, all right. These things happen, and I agree that the wall along the sunken garden should have been sorted out as soon as it happened. I mean, you know, make it reasonably pleasant for people to walk along there and visitors to walk along there, and so it would allow the children's playground to reopen. You know, even if they put some fencing up, not the barriers, some type of a decent fencing. You know, but no, it's like I say, it was my niece Anne who rang me and she said, "John, have you seen the thing on YouTube?" I mean, I'm not, I don't go on YouTube regularly, but I did find it and quite disgusting, actually.
All right. Okay, John, thanks for calling today.
Thank you.
I appreciate that call. Well, the Charles Gard video has excited lots of comment. It has got tens of thousands of views on YouTube. And it would be a pity if Charles Gard would be remembered for that, not the many other terrific videos he did about the Isle of Man. And that's really the point of it. It's the counterpoint to the many wonderful videos Charles has made of the good things about the Isle of Man. He's made this wonderfully crafted video. It is a grim subject, but beautifully done, of the things that are wrong, the things that have been neglected on the Isle of Man. We'll never know what Rosalind Ranson's recommendations would have been or may have been the better way to go. The fact that she felt bullied is fair enough, but nobody can say her actions would have been better to follow. It's in the past. And nobody can... say that they would have been better. I hope the government has learned lessons from it all and will listen to all people involved in the future to get the full picture. Well, we'll see what happens, but I'll just ask you to cast your mind back a couple of years. It was a torrid time, a frightening time for many people, a really scary time. Nobody quite knew what the extent of the pandemic was going to be. So if you have any thoughts, then do get in touch. I don't know why we should be shocked, says Sharon, or surprised that there be made-up documents coming from government departments. Sharon's words. The government computer file system would have auditing enabling it to be simple to find out who created or modified the false documents. Bonzo was referring to the metadata, as it were, the electronic watermark, so you can see who did what. Kath called to say that Charles Gard did the right thing by putting the video up on YouTube. And here's Howard with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just listen to that chap a minute ago. To a degree, he's right. That should not have been put on. But the other thing was it should not have had to have been put on because Charles Gard has only emphasised what has been going on the island here for quite a number of years. And to say that to put it to the government, well, that would have been a complete and utter waste of time, because we all know where that would end up. Personally, I'm just sitting outside Manx Radio here at the moment. I've just been down, and as I said yesterday, the corporation failed to cut the grass. Well, I've just been doing the grass around the edge of the camera obscura, something that me as a 78-year-old man shouldn't have to do. But Charles Gard, I was looking at one of his videos last night, and this is to the credit of the man, and he's brought out an amazing amount. He done, it must be at least 20 minutes video, on the transport of the island, covering the horse trams, and electric railway, Gradle Railway, Galaxy, everything appertaining. And that shows the Isle of Man in a much better light, but it's the past government, and let's hope this government is not going to follow suit, that have allowed the island to fall into the state it's in. Lackadaisical is the word, and they're just sitting there dreaming up all sorts of fancy schemes, but not looking after what we've already got. But I've just, well, I come along the quayside there before, and remember saying about the festoon lighting, I think he said festering, festoon lighting. Now, the council have been down there, and they're stringing wires up on the south quay, and it makes you ask, are they going ahead, putting festoon lighting on the south quay, where there's nothing but knockdown buildings, scaffolding, and a couple of warehouses? Now, who on earth is going to walk down on the South Quay and view, or down on the North Quay? Why are they wasting money down there putting festoon lighting up?
The only thing I'll say about that, Howard, is that lots of people sit on North Quay outside those cafes and pubs, so they will actually see the festoon lights on the South Quay, as you say. They won't see the car washers and the derelict sites and the Trafalgar, the old Trafalgar pub.
Mm-hmm. That's up for sale, and that is, I think that's a registered building now, so that will remain as is. But the other buildings alongside the old warehouses, separate garages, they're down, and there's nothing but a big hole there. So why are the council wasting money putting lights over there when it should be kept in semi-darkness to conceal
While you're on Douglas Head, Howard, if you want to turn your car around and drive onto Marine Drive, you'll notice that the sign, you know, the arches on Marine Drive.
Yeah.
They've actually, if you look, the words Marine Drive are very bright and white nowadays. The simple reason we noticed yesterday, there was a Buchanan and Pitts van that went up there and painted the sign. So they've painted the sign on Marine Drive now.
Yeah, but left the rest. Just straight buying a pair of boots that already got holes in.
Well, it's a start. They've got the sign right.
Yes. Yeah, I noticed they're all around the TT, or well, large parts of the TT course. The road markings have all been put back down again. But you look around the rest of the place, and then there's nothing. And I saw that wagon going around the other day. Yesterday it was. I think it's still English registered. And that'll be doing jobs around. But this is that video that Charles Gard put on of recent should, if there's an ounce of sense in anyone within government, should make them stand up and say, right, we want something done about this. And I hope Tim Crookall, and he seems to be an honest sort of man, to get on with the job and get it sorted out. And
okay.
They've got another department there trying to encourage £500,000 a year. You're better off going to a derelict site somewhere in the UK.
While you're there, Howard, just give us a quick plug for the Camera Obscura. When's it open, and have you done that grass properly?
Well, I hope I have. Well, just as a point, the Camera Obscura itself, unique to the island, unique to Britain, it's 125 years old this year. And we're volunteers, and we're all getting older, they're getting fewer and fewer. We could do with a few more volunteers. Victorian Society, we open up on bank holidays and every weekend when the weather's suitable. The thing is that we have a flag, three legs of man flag. If you see that flying, then there's somebody in operation.
Well, I have to say, I mean, Peter Kelly, the Victorian, well, the whole of the Victorian Society do a fantastic job.
Well, we try our best. And as I say, we're getting short of volunteers now because none of us are getting any younger. But it's well worth a visit, especially for children, because they think it's a photograph until something moves. And bear in mind that this was here 10, 15 years before cinemas arrived on the island.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye now.
29 minutes before one. Last August, the releasing of helium balloons was banned on the Isle of Man, but it hasn't stopped them appearing around the Isle of Man, sometimes in places they shouldn't be. Get that? The releasing of helium balloons. You can still get a helium balloon. It's prompted calls now for helium balloons per se to be banned, much like sky lanterns. Because you'll be able to see, look hard enough, you'll find empty helium balloons, little wisps of plastic and foil in hedgerows, fences, treetops, often in the sea. Helium balloons are notorious for posing a threat to wildlife wherever they land. Unlike sky lanterns, you can still buy helium balloons in the shops. Jenny Shepherd runs the Lockton Wool Shop just off the Patrick Road. She's found two balloons on her land in the last few weeks.
They are lethal to livestock. And as I've just shown you with the one we've picked up 2 days ago, it's very easy to tear little bits off it and the sheep eat them. And we have had a lamb that choked with a great lump of balloon down its throat. It's an unnecessary hazard, but it's the most horrible plastic waste anyway. It gets into ditches, it blocks drains. And we used to find 10, 15 a year. And then it was actually last year the legislation came in. And we thought, great, no more helium balloons. But I hadn't understood you can buy a helium balloon, but it's illegal to release it outside. Hence why we have found two in the last 10 days. I know they're bright, they're fun, but surely there are other things we can find for small children to enjoy that aren't so destructive to the environment, to farm livestock, and worse still, the ones that end up in the sea.
Dr. Amy Beckett's the Isle of Man's chief vet, the chief veterinary officer. She says, explains really, why helium balloons pose such a threat to livestock.
Animals think that they are food, so we'll often try and eat them, and they can cause a number of problems, so either choking or suffocation, but they can also cause blockages of the intestines, all of which unfortunately can lead to death. They often have pieces of string or ribbons attached to them, and they can get entangled around limbs and even around necks of birds, and again can cause serious issues, unfortunately. I think lambs particularly, and most young animals are inquisitive, like young children. So, yeah, if they see something different in their field, they go up and want to see what it is and either start to play with it, which is concerned from getting it entangled, or, as I said, try and eat it if they think it might be food-related.
Now, when the Sky Lanterns and Balloons Prohibition Bill, snappy title, 2020, was out, it was celebrated, the Sky Lanterns and Balloons Prohibitions Bill 2020. So why is it still an issue now? Why are we having helium balloons minus the helium turning up, ending up in hedgerows, ending up in trees? The Environment Minister is Claire Barber, MHK.
This was always the sort of first step, and we looked then at, you know, deliberate release of helium balloons is an offence in Manx law. So it doesn't matter whether you can buy the balloon and you can buy the helium tank. If you choose to put the two together and make a release, that is an offence. But we also recommended that actually there are some people for whom that's there's a business within using helium balloons, and they do that responsibly, whether that be an archway or a display within a facility, you know, for a wedding, for whatever that might be, and they do that in a responsible manner. You know, we would say, obviously, we want to make sure people then dispose of those balloons safely. And I know, it's being a mum, and I think I commented in the debate, you know, there's nothing worse when you've got a child who's already howling because they've lost their helium balloon by mistake, and you're also feeling absolutely pig sick because the last thing you wanted to do was release a helium balloon into the environment. So I think we've done part one. I think we now need to assess whether there's a need. Clearly, there has been a report of an incident. There are often reports when you've had a large balloon release. Historically, we used to see suddenly balloons coming from all sorts of places, especially when they had the little tags on, because of course people used to compete to see how far they went. You know, I think before there was an awareness that this was a bad thing, this was something that was celebrated and done quite frequently. For me, that was the first part of the bill. We will review and see whether there is a need for further legislation.
Claire Barber, MHK, talking about helium balloons. Is it time to call a halt to this? Do you think we should ban the sale of helium balloons and go back to blowing up rubber balloons ourselves? And if we're not going to ban them, how can we police it? Now, it may be that some of those balloons are drifting over from Ireland, could be coming over from the Mull of Galloway from Scotland. They could be arriving from wherever. But if it kills livestock, and if it ends up polluting the sea, is it really worth it for just, you know, a few hours of fun for somebody's celebration, having an oversized helium balloon? You got any thoughts on the matter, or am I just a bit of a killjoy, perhaps? What do you think? Text, email, or call.
You want how much? 1% commission? That's £2,000 to sell my house? That's it. I'm seeing red.
Sick of huge commission fees? Don't get mad. See red. With CG Red, the new service from County Groves, you can sell any house up to £350,000 for a fixed £750 fee. That's a saving of up to £2,750 on what you'd pay with a traditional estate agent.
So go on, see red. Visit cgred.com. I am. They're giving other estate agents a darn good thrashing.
Escape the TT to Denmark Direct. Two-centre holiday in Copenhagen and Sonderburg, departing 2nd of June for 5 nights. Exclusive to Richmond Travel and Manlink Travel. Call for full details. Seats are selling quickly. Book today.
Are you worried about what inflation is doing to your savings? Chase Wealth Solutions are holding seminars across the island, talking about the current economic climate, offering guidance on how to navigate it, and how a well-known and widely diversified investment solution may help during these difficult times. We're in Port Erin, Ramsey and Douglas on Thursday the 19th, and Peel on Friday the 20th of May. To find out more, visit chasewealth.im. Chase Financial Services, trading as Chase Wealth Solutions, is regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Now at ShopRite, you can get our low prices on your favourite national brands. Or you could switch and save with our huge range of buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 35%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
All this week on 1 to 3, we're looking after our mental health. We'll be hearing from Charity of the Week, our Listen. We'll get some tips on how physical health can boost and support our mood. We'll even take a look at our financial health in the first of our new series, Money Talks. And we'll have plenty of feel-good tunes to bring a bit of brightness to the day.
1 to 3 with Christy D.
Looking after our mental health.
Mental health.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along. Thanks for calling. Lots of bread at the co-op, and they're now importing their own bread, and it's only 145 a large sliced loaf from their own bakery, says Charlie. You don't work at the co-op, do you, Charlie? Unfortunately, Dr. Ranson's experienced the Isle of Man government standard of bullying, says Steve. Steve's word, I've experienced this at first hand in various government departments. It's a culture that must change. We've heard of this before, but obviously in individual cases, often we don't actually find out what's happened. And again, with the Dr. Ranson case, I just wonder what you think should happen. Is this something that needs to be sorted out between Dr. Ranson and the government, or does it have wider implications for us? You know, if there is an inquiry, if somebody demands an inquiry, that costs money, it lasts a long time, and you wonder sometimes at the end of inquiries where we are, when any further along. I don't want to minimise what may have happened to Dr. Ranson, but there was a pandemic going on at the time, so we don't know. But anyway, it's your call, whatever you think. Fran said, look, the plight of Dr. Ranson shows how deceitful and unjust things are within government. When you have this sort of treatment handed out to someone who is doing her best to help, it disgusts me when other heads of department are being paid off with large golden handshakes. Well, which heads of departments have been paid off recently, Fran? Just hope the ban on balloons will be put in place immediately, not months away. They'll save a lot of suffering to animals and sea creatures, says Wendy G in Onken. They should never have been allowed in the first place. Well said, Bonzo, says Texter 753. It's time people got to know a little more about what goes on in the Isle of Man. Thank goodness higher authorities off-island may see it. And Ralph said, are the politicians over here trying to wind up the general population? Name one decision that's made you proud to be Manx lately. I feel outraged at the big money decisions only benefiting contractors. Well, just give us a bit more. I mean, that's a generality, Ralph. If you can give me some details on that, we'd be more than happy to get to the bottom of it. But I must point out, and somebody dropped a note in just to say, is it true the Manx Radio was warned off by the government about that? Well, I don't know about being warned off, but we reported the dismissal in August of last year. We reported this particular situation. Government denied it at the time. How can I put it? Firmly denied it at the time. But we knew, and we've contacted the Isle of Man government for a response to the Dr. Ranson case. Good on Charles Gard, says JK. It's obviously the useless government's fault. The island's been neglected. We should all put similar videos out on Facebook. Carry on, Charles Gard, says Victoria. Well done. And Crystal said, how many other documents would have been doctored by the government? And that's really the issue, is that when something like this comes out, it inevitably will raise in people's minds, what about, is this happening elsewhere? So, we'll hear from the government. The government will respond to this at some point, and we'll let you know what they have to say. The guys who are unhappy with the video should be more concerned about the ineptitude of the government, who needs such things spelled out to them before they act, says G. Don't shoot me, I'm only the piano player, didn't Elton John say? You can't blame COVID for the state of the island, says Texter 614. I agree with the caller, Liz, this is. I agree with the caller regarding Charles Gard. It could really have damaged our tourism, as YouTube's used by millions. Also, did we not think that Henrietta and the team were already looking at everything worldwide, and we looked, we locked down way before England did, says Liz. Well, there is a case of hindsight, isn't there, Liz? But obviously, as the situation goes on, we'll go on. Nigel said they should all resign. All of them. Not about Miss Ranson's thoughts. It's about how government covered up the truth, says Nigel. We can say that with certainty that closing the borders before we had any cases would have saved lives. This was evident at the time. But the bullying received by Doctors Ranson, Glover and Tinwell suggests a deep cultural issue within the government. Which civil servant ordered the wrong barriers for the airport car parks, those indoor barriers? We don't know. Fair to say we haven't asked. Oh, by the way, talking of the airport, next Tuesday an app on your phone will be the way that you secure a parking slot at Ronald's Way's car park at the airport, so get used to it. Well, apart from the one-hour disc zone, for 6 months, the new app system will be trialled. The Infrastructure Department member, Tim Glover, MHK, says the app green light isn't far away.
It will be activated within the next week or so, is what I'm being led to believe, and ready to go.
It's coming in on the 17th, so it has to be fairly quickly.
You can sign up for it now.
Yeah.
It will be in by the 17th and running up and running and active.
There's a trial being held of 6 months, isn't there?
We are going to trial it for 6 months. I think we'll get a good weather vane then of whether it's working for all people, because that's important, or whether we are going to need to introduce something else. That will give us time to consider what that other else will be.
You're going to have to come up with something, because at the moment there is no answer and it's gone to an app. At the end of the 6 months, you'll still be left with no answer to what's the best way forward, apart from a bloke sitting there with a bucket.
I think in 3 months we'll know, and we'll then hopefully bring something else in after 6 months. That's the trial period that we're looking at. So we are hopeful that this app will work. It does cater for you pay in advance. That's the key thing that I think was missing from the understanding of this beforehand. If you want to pay over the phone, you can pay over the phone, and a phone number will be given out. And you can also pay at the airport information desk.
So. There are no hidden charges. That's, people are apprehensive about whether they sign up with this. Suddenly they find themselves paying more than they would be just for flat
rate. Airport charges, I've asked that very question this morning because I've seen the feedback overnight. There are no hidden charges. What you pay and what is advertised at the airport is what you will pay.
And people can still go along and get an hour without paying.
They can.
The diszone.
Yeah, the diszone, which will be policed, because hopefully expanded somewhat, because there has been abuses of parking at the airport, and a number of people have found out to their cost, unfortunately,
because they were warned,
and now there will be charges.
Senator, at present, they're being warned not to park there. They're not actually being fined. Is that right?
I'm not sure on that one. I'll reserve judgment. I've driven round the car park. I've seen the yellow tickets on there, but I haven't got out and had a look at whether it's just a warning or indeed it is a fixed notice penalty.
What you desperately need is a new airport director, someone to take charge of this thing.
And we will have shortly.
But 3 months.
Hopefully it'll be shorter than that.
Right through the summer.
People have to work their statutory notice period. We're hoping and we're working on making sure that it's shorter than 3 months. We're hopeful.
Let's go to Vivian now. Hi, Vivian.
Hello, Andy. You're talking about the state of the island.
Yeah.
I hope somebody's taken note of the hedgerows. There's some beautiful flowers in them. The wild stitchwork, celandines, dandelions, everything under the sun. Half of those will be cut for TT, and that's the crying shame.
Ah, that's right, isn't it? Yes, for the next couple of weeks, they're cutting on certain parts. Are they cutting around Kirkmichael?
They cut most of the TT course.
Wow.
And that's a shame, but if you're out in the country, there's all violets, all sorts in the hedgerows at the moment. And it's so nice this year. Probably better than it's been for years, and I just think it's a crying shame.
What do you think they should have done? Cut them earlier?
Well, of course, they were cut last year. No, they weren't. They weren't all cut last year. It's up to the Highway Authority and on the TT course and the main roads. The rest of the island is up to local authorities, and nobody cuts them in local authorities till September because we're not allowed.
But
I just think it's a crying shame.
All right. Thanks, Vivian.
Thank you.
All right. 12 minutes before one. Howard's with us now again. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. I took your advice, just turned around, went along the Marine Drive. Yes, you're right. They have painted the lettering on the Marine Drive toll gate, but typical. It says Marine Drive, one either side of the towers, but in the centre is the date that was built. And that's still left.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
And
so, in other words, you got Marine Drive, but you can't read. It's not been painted, so obviously that wasn't in the price.
What is the date?
1890-something, 1891, I think. Yeah, something like that.
Well, certainly. We had a wander down Marine Drive the other day, and some of those... And first of all, the road edges are getting really overgrown. Some of them are just merging into the pavement. The pavements are being overgrown. I mean, the fences are just corroding like nobody's business. A lot of the wire fences have just gone.
Yes. I've got my strimmer in the back of the van here. I might nip along there in an hour and give it a quick cut.
All right. Okay, thanks,
okay.
Howard.
Take care.
Good to hear from you. A couple of messages in regarding the loos in Nobles Park. Are they 20p? Apparently they're 20p. The ones by the Nobles Park Cafe, by the playground as well. Apparently the charging mechanisms haven't been switched on yet and won't be on until after TT. I think people are seeing the mechanism and assuming the council is charging when in reality it's not. They're not for the moment, apparently. And when the splash zone is on, They won't be on for the splash zone. These are the loos by the cafe in Nobles Park, which say 20p, but it's not been switched on yet. There's a message in Ronnie, who just said, yes, I'm tired of the witch's knickers. The what? The witch's knickers. Apparently this is the name for plastic bags and balloons that get caught in trees. They're witch's knickers. Well, I've never heard that before, Ronnie, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get that out of my head. Of course, these balloons that are found in these deflated balloons that are found in hedgerows and fences and treetops and often in the sea. Do you think we should ban helium balloons completely? And I may be aware that I'm crossing over people's business, because there are companies that pump up balloons for a living, and lots of people have helium balloons at parties. So you just wonder what happened at parties before helium balloons.
For me, that was the first part of the bill. We will review and see whether there is a need for further legislation, but I would impress that point that it is illegal to release helium balloons into the atmosphere in the Isle of Man.
There's Claire Barber talking about exactly how this works. Barry Redfern produces Man in Line on Manx Radio, and amongst other things, amongst his many and varied CV, Barry was a chemistry teacher. How many years ago, Barry?
A very long time ago.
But you know all about helium, and tell me, is helium naturally, does it occur naturally, helium?
Well, yes and no. Would you believe it? It's the most abundant element in the whole of the universe, but unfortunately, it's quite rare here on Earth.
The helium that pumps balloons up, where does that come from?
Well, most of it is commercially produced by actually liquefying natural gas, you know, the gas they want to ban.
Ah.
So they liquefy it, gets very cold, and then they distill it, just like you distill, you know, whiskey or something. And it's called fractional distillation.
Do you know what temperature it's liquid at?
Well, it's almost, well, there is a range of temperatures it can exist at as a liquid, but it can get very, very close to absolute zero. And absolute zero is minus 273 degrees Celsius.
Apart from pumping up 21st birthday balloons, does it have industrial uses?
Oh, yes, it has lots and lots of uses. One of the major uses is actually in medicine. It's used for the scanners in the hospitals. It's used to cool the magnets, these very, very powerful magnets.
In MRIs?
MRI scanners, yes.
So, and I'm led to believe there's a worldwide shortage of helium. So why is that?
Well, it does occur naturally. It can be obtained naturally, but there's not that much around. I mean, even with commercial extraction from the natural gas, you know, there's only so much they can obtain from that. And I think naturally in the air, I think it's only about 2%. There's not much in the air at all.
Okay, Barry, thanks for that. Producer Barry Redfern, our resident chemistry teacher. And that's the story of helium.
This is my last will and testament. To my family, I leave years of financial headaches, large legal bills, and the prospect of having to sell our home to pay for it all.
Is that the legacy you choose to leave? Without a proper will and thorough planning, it could happen. Mann Benham Advocates, experiencing wills, probate and estate planning with a friendly service to make sure the future of your loved ones are secure. Don't put it off. Call 639-350 for your free initial consultation with Mann Benham. Here for you.
They got your whole house in their hands.
When you need scaffolding,
DPM.
On time and on budget,
DPM.
We'll beat any quote.
DPM, we do it all at DPM.
DPM promise to beat any like-for-like scaffolding quote by 10%. So when you need scaffolding, call the friendly, experienced DPM scaffolding team on 61-2000. T's and C's apply.
We do it all at DPM.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Ethel Garage in Ballasalla is more than a Nissan authorised repair centre. Their team of highly factory-trained and experienced technicians will service and repair any make and model, with dedicated aftercare too. With Ethel, you get a competitive fixed-price menu and a courtesy car if needed. Pity this driver didn't know that.
Oh, great! I told you to go to Ethel!
Ethel, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at ethel.im or call the A-team, 820082.
A note in from G, who just said, Andy, surely Douglas Borough Council, Town Council, could arrange with a college for building students to rebuild the sunken garden wall as a practical experience using the existing stone. Get it done for nothing if they've got the existing stone. Publicity is good for the Isle of Man, but bad publicity will last long in the minds of people, says Des. And a note in from Darren, who says, if I can't get out of the airport car park and the app won't let me, I'm going to drive through the hedge. I wouldn't advocate that, Darren, I'll be honest with you. But it does get very stressful, particularly if you're coming in on a late flight and you can't get out of the car park. But I wouldn't advocate that. Lots of messages concerning the Rosalind Ranson case. Thanks for all your messages. We can't use everything on it, we just don't have time. But everything does get read. Now, tomorrow, a couple of sparky characters going to be on Man in Line. I'd urge you to listen. The community volunteer Michael Josom's going to be on, and the Green Party councillor for Douglas, Andrew Bentley. He's an architect. He's the Cone Ranger of Coney Island, and they've both got something to say about the future of the Isle of Man, how Douglas looks, and also our green future. Tune it in tomorrow. Open line with them on Manx Radio.
WINT.